About 7 or 8 weeks ago, I started a series from the book of Acts, and I've entitled it To the Ends of the Earth. And today's message is actually going to be about living by the faith of Christ, and of course, not faith in Christ. And what does that mean? How do we live that out and that kind of thing? To get us started, I want to actually go to Acts chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at the story where Peter and John went into the temple, and of course you know where they ended up meeting a lame man who had been handicapped for most of his life from birth and so forth. So let's go to Acts chapter 3 and verse number 1. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a lame man from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Now once again, I want to mention something here that's significant. Peter and John were going to a prayer meeting. It's 3 o'clock, had to be there. And more than likely, they were not early. Probably right, they were running late. They had to stop by McDonald's. I was a joke, by the way, that McDonald's wasn't going on back then. They had to stop by the Jerusalem Cafe to grab them something to eat, and a snack and fill up their donkey with gas and to get there. But it's very interesting that they were not so focused about where they had to be that they were ignoring the Holy Spirit's call to stop. Even though they might have been late, they said, you know what, we're Holy Spirit conscious and not focusing on the time and that kind of thing. Now, with that in mind, let's see what they did. Look at verses 4 and 5. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. Now, I want to say something here that I want you to hear me carefully, that I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody. I'm trying to let faith arise in you today, all right? Now, with that said, many have gotten into a routine of just being sick, of just being poor, of just being at the bottom of the food chain. And I want to ask you something. When Jesus said, let's see the verse, John 10:10. When Jesus said this verse, he said, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Do you think he was just talking about heaven?
No.
What was he talking about? Right here and right now. Now, I'm telling you, we as Christians have fallen into this mentality that, well, I'm just sick, I'm just poor, and and we talk this all the time to we give ourselves self-talk, and we're not really looking to Christ and saying, wait a minute, you've come that I might have life. Not heaven is a good deal no matter how well you cut and slice it, right? And we think, well, I know heaven is one day, and man, we just got to get through this life, and this is just as good as it gets. I'm telling you, that's not what this verse says. He came that we might have life right now. And that means that we can receive his healing if we ask for it. Now, you say, preacher, I've asked him for healing, and it just hadn't happened. I know that. I understand that. But are you continuing to believe him and say, Lord, this is not who I am, that I've been healed, I'm righteous, I'm holy right now? And how do we appropriate that? What do we do until we see that manifestation come? That bank account is slim. I've been through all this, folks, in the last few years. I'm not just talking without experience. And I said, Lord, you know what? They could take my house if something doesn't give here. And I tell you, God said, listen, you focus on me. You believe me that I'm going to take care of this bill, and it's going to happen in my timing. And it doesn't happen tomorrow. It doesn't happen the next day sometimes. But I'm telling you, something comes through when you get your focus off of your circumstances. Quit talking about your lack and talk about his sufficiency. You will now begin to understand his faith arising. So with that said, I just want to say this guy was handicapped from birth, and but I want to say this, that God wants to bless you way more than you're willing to ask Him and to believe Him for. I believe that. God wants to bless us way more than we're willing to believe Him for. I'm not talking about this prosperity gospel that some people preach, but folks, God is a prosperous God, and He wants to bless His children if we're willing to believe Him for it. So are you willing to live by faith in Christ or the faith of Christ? Say, preacher, I don't understand that yet. Hang on, I'm not finished. All right. Now, let's go on. Let's look at verse 6. But Peter said, I don't have any silver and gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. And then he said, in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. Wow. He didn't have any money. The guy was expecting a handout. Now, listen to this powerful revelation that just hit me. That the guy that was handicapped from birth was just expecting things to be the way they always were. Right. Are you listening? Amen. He wasn't praying expecting healing, expecting to get up and walk. But Peter helped his faith, didn't he? But Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I don't have any money. Get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. Can you imagine? What did he do? Look at verse 8. He jumped up, stood on his feet, began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. Verse 10, when they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astonished. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Now, Peter saw an opportunity here, and we're about to read what he said, man, this is an opportunity to take the focus off of myself and put it on Christ. You see, the beggar had his focus on himself, his healing. I'm just going to be this way the rest of my life. This is just as good as it gets in the Christian life. Folks, that's a pity party that is very non-productive.
Amen?
Amen? He got his focus off of his circumstances, and he got him on Christ. Now, Peter's fixing to tell the people that, because, you know, Peter and John were a part of what God did here, so they could have said, man, look at old Peter and John. Look at what we did. But Peter didn't do that. Look at what he did. Verse 12, Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. People of Israel, he said, what is so amazing about this? And why stare at us as though we had this man walk by our own power, our godliness? Did you see the first part of the verse? He said, Peter saw the opportunity, back to verse 12, and he said, what's so surprising about this? Friends, are you seeing God perform miracles in your life? Say, not near enough, preacher. Well, do you want to see some more? I believe that you've got to let Christ's faith arise if you want to see some more. How do we do that? Hang on, I'm coming to that. Are you seeing God perform miracles? Are you looking at your faith? Are you looking at Christ's faith who is within you? The latter part of the verse said, and he's why stare at us as though we had made this man walk. Do you see what he's doing? He's taking the focus off of Peter and John, and he's putting it back on God. And that's what we've got to do if we're going to see more miracles occur in our lives. So are you staring at the preacher to perform miracles? I hope not. Are you looking at your lack and what you don't have? Are you sitting there for the rest of your life saying, well, this is just as good as it gets? Are you believing and expecting God to do the miraculous? Mm-hmm. Are you sin conscious? Are you Christ conscious? Remember we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, that we looked at the model prayer and how the model prayer was not written for us. The model prayer was written to the Jews. Remember he said, and Lord, I pray that you forgive me just as I forgive the debtors against me. Have you thought about that? You that weren't here, I really encourage you to go back, look at that sermon about praying. Just to be on the website, one of the last ones put up. But how the model prayer helps focus on what we're doing and our sins instead of focusing on Christ. That model prayer is not what the way we're to be praying today. Paul and Silas, remember we looked at that example? They prayed. They were thrown into prison for casting out a demon in a girl. And the people didn't like it because now the people that owned this girl couldn't make money by her telling fortunes. They revved up the crowd and they had Paul and Silas thrown into jail. They were beaten and put in the innermost part of a prison. Wouldn't you think that we would be praying, "Oh Lord, why? I'm trying to do your work. I'm trying, and here, look what's happened to me." And they were calling the prayer chain and they were saying, "Lord, get me out of this prison." But no, the Bible says they were singing and praising the Lord. And the earthquake came and shook the doors of the prison open. Their shackles fell off. What do you think they did? They run out of the prison saying, "Thank you, Lord. Answered prayer." No, they just stayed right there. Because the jailer was fixing to kill himself because he assumed that they had escaped and he knew that was a death sentence if you let a prisoner escape. So he's fixing to kill himself, fall on a sword, the Bible says. And Paul said, "No, don't do that. We're still here." They were singing and praising the Lord. And then this guy was so confused, the jailer, he didn't know what to do. He said, "What is wrong with you people? Why didn't you escape?" And then the old guy said, "What must I do to be saved?" He basically was saying, "What do I do to get what you've got?" And then Paul told them, "Just believe on Jesus Christ." And the Bible says the jailer and his whole household got saved. You see, so they weren't looking at their circumstances. Paul and Silas was praying and singing and praising God for right in the midst of their adversity. And God did a powerful miracle. Then they got to walk out of the prison. See, they could have walked out of the prison when the shackles fell off, but they didn't. They were listening to the Holy Spirit. And God said, "Hey, I've got a jailer here that needs to trust me as Savior and Lord." And see, that's what God's doing right now. But are you looking to and expectantly praying, expecting God to do a miracle right where you are? And the if it's healing you're praying for, that'll come in His time. But are you just doing like the old beggar, though, and laying there saying, "This is as good as it gets. Would you give me a handout to get me through tomorrow?" No. We need to look expectantly and pray with thanksgiving in advance. Now back to the story of Peter and John. In verse 13, "For it is the God of Abraham," Peter was preaching to the crowd that was standing in amazement. He said, "For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to His servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release Him. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life." Wow. Wow. But, I like that. "God raised Him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact." Verse 16. "Through faith in the name of Jesus." Now I'm going to come back to this in a moment. This is not a good translation here. It should be "off," and I'm going to prove that to you from the Greek, okay? "Then faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed, and you know how crippled he was before. Faith in," once again, it should be "faith of," "Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes." Question. Everybody listening, say amen.
Amen.
All right, here's the question. Whose faith healed this man? If we want to see more miracles, what do we have to do? Do you have to rev up your faith? Do we have to step up our belief system? Maybe. Well, we'll answer these questions. I'm getting you to think. As we think about faith, you think about it, we exercise it all the time. I had faith in this chair that it was going to hold this old big old preacher up. Has it worked so far? I hope it didn't fall out on me. We exercise faith all the time and don't even realize it. We have faith in the air that you breathe is not toxic. You didn't get up this morning thinking, "I wonder if this air I'm breathing is going to be toxic today." You see what I'm saying? We have faith in our car Does it let us down sometimes? Sure. But you have faith that's going to get you? Do you have faith in Jesus that he's going to get you to heaven? Amen. Most everybody says amen there. So we all have faith. The difference is, now watch it, who or what is the object of your faith? Is it your faith in something? Or is it Christ's faith in you? All right. Now, you thought I was never going to get to the notes, didn't you? All right. Number one, that was just the introduction. Okay. I'll move quickly. There are some misconceptions about faith. First of all, it's not faith in God, but faith of God. Not faith in God, but faith of God. I want you to see Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the question is, if we're to live by faith, whose faith are we going to live by? Are we going to live by our faith?
No.
Or do we have something even greater?
Something
we do, okay? Not faith in Christ, but faith of Christ. It's going to begin to come. Some of you, it's starting to click. Look at it back to Acts chapter 3, verse 16. I told you I was going to come back to this verse. It says, through faith in the name of Jesus Christ, this man was healed, and you know how crippled he was before, faith in Jesus, and so forth. Now, I went to a book. It's called a parallel Bible from the English words to the Greek words. It actually shows you the actual Greek words. Could we go ahead and see that slide? It actually, and you may not can read this. Maybe it'll come through enough. I just copied and it scanned it in. Actually, verse 16, I told you it wasn't a good translation. But if you'll notice there, look at verse 16. It's got the Greek words, and these are the exact English words as best as the translators know how to match an English word to the Greek word. Now, you know in italics in your Bible, when you're reading your Bible and you see the words in italics, those are words that were added to help clarify. And you're going to see why the translators did that, because it's very difficult to understand the Greek language by just saying it exactly the way it was said. But that's what this parallel Bible does. And notice it says, and on the faith of name of him, this man whom ye behold and know, made from the name of him and the faith. You see why the translators added some words to try to help clarify what they were trying to say? Through him, gave him this soundness before all you. The point I'm trying to say here is that this verse in Acts chapter 3, verse 16 should state the faith of Christ that healed this man. Now, if that's not clear enough, I've got two or three more examples. And if you want to jot these down, you can. Romans 3:22, a very good example of this. We could see the next slide. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Notice it's the faith or the righteousness of God. Everything is of Jesus, of God. Okay? Titus 1:1. Paul, a bondservant of God and the apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. Now, how does this play out in our day-to-day life? Well, I've got a perfect example. Steve McVeigh, who has been teaching the grace message, who comes from a Baptist background, as my background is, so I really relate to him a whole lot. Joseph Prince comes to the grace message, for example. I call him the charismatic version of the grace message. He comes from the Word of Faith people, maybe the more charismatic background. But I'm telling you, you can really grow. They got some things right in the charismatic circle that we ain't got right. And I think we got a few things right they ain't got right. So I really listen to both of these men intently. So in my opinion, they're two of the greatest teachers of grace, Joseph Prince and Steve McVeigh, from two different backgrounds and angles. Okay? Steve McVeigh tells this story. He had gone to a Word of Faith type church, more of a charismatic type church. And by the way, he told me personally, he said that they're more open to grace than most of my background, talking about from the non-charismatic background. Isn't that interesting? He said, they're more open to grace message than most of us were. But anyway, he said this guy came up to him. He was to speak at the conference, and the guy came up to him, and so I don't mess this up, I wanted to get the words down. He came up to him, and he asked Steve, how is your faith in praying for healing? And Steve answered, and he said, well, just to be honest with you, he said, my faith is terrible when I pray for healing, using my own faith. He said, actually, when I pray for people, some of them die. He said, you still want me to pray for you? And he used that as an example. He said, he actually used that as a teaching moment, and he said, I actually have the faith of Christ. I don't have my own faith. Now, he said, I'll be glad to pray for you utilizing his faith to heal you and not my own. He said, because I just can't rev it up enough. And he prayed for the man and said something like this, Lord, my faith is weak and imperfect. I pray for healing for this man by utilizing your faith. I believe in healing for him based on the finished work of the cross. Amen. You see, you're taking your focus off of your faith and you're putting it back on Christ's faith. There's a big difference. We think if I just can have enough more faith, if I can just pray harder, I can call all the prayer warriors, I can just make God move his heart. No, if you want him to move, folks, get your focus off of yourself. And by the way, Steve McVeigh said this didn't happen every time, but the man came back the next night and he was healed. Isn't that something? So, you see, let's focus on the faith of Christ, not faith in Christ. Number two, faith is not a worked up faith, but is given by Christ. I've done talked about that. The typical Christian thinks and prays like this. Well, I've got to try to be like Jesus. No, you don't. Quit trying to be like Jesus. Quit trying to work up your own faith. If I can have just enough faith. Say, preacher, well, let's back up that first statement you said. Trying to live like Christ. Folks, you died. You've been buried with Christ. It's not I who live, Christ, Paul said, but Christ lives in me. Our mindset is we're trying to live like Christ instead of allowing Jesus to live his life through you. You see, quit trying to live the Christian life. Yep, you heard that from a preacher. Quit trying to live the Christian life. You can't do it. But say, Lord, I died, I've been crucified with Christ. It's not me anymore. It's about the exchanged life. The exchanged life. We died. Christ now lives within us. Now, I want to make a word of caution here. You hear the exchanged life mentioned a lot in the grace movement, and it's a good term. But the exchanged life is not about exchanging an unrighteous life for self-righteous. Do you understand? It's about Christ. The Bible says that all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's a picture of the exchanged life. Christ, we died. Christ now lives within us. We still have this old body. But folks, we can choose to live it through the flesh, or we can choose to say, Lord, your Holy Spirit has got to live your life today. Every morning, you shouldn't get up and say, Lord, help me be a good Christian today. That's not a good prayer. Say, Lord, I know I can't do anything apart from you. You see what Peter did? Peter was trying to take the focus from what they did, and he put it on what Christ did. That's what we need to do in advance. Say, Lord, I can't live the Christian life today. My faith is going to blow it. I know I need healing. I need this and I need that. And I want to pray for so-and-so to receive this and so forth. But Lord, I can't do this. Lord, you pray through me. You live your life through me because I'm going to blow it every time. You see, you're getting yourself out of the way and saying, Holy Spirit, you do it through me. Such an important principle that I cannot overstate. Listen to this. Quit trying to become supernatural. You are supernatural through Christ. Now, y'all going to have to think on that one a little while. What did Paul say? all things, old things have passed away. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're a new creation in Christ. Wow. Well, I don't feel like it. I don't act like it. But that doesn't change the reality of who you are. Your behavior and how you feel does not define you. You're a child of the living King. You're righteous and holy, and you're standing before God, and it had nothing to do with you. It had all to do with what Christ did on the cross.
Amen. Mm.
I just pray the Holy Spirit will take you deeper with that understanding. Okay, number three. So how do we apply Christ's faith? If we have the faith of Christ, how do we apply it? First of all, you got to hear it. Second, you got to believe it. And I'll get to number three in just a second. I want you to see something here that gives us the proof of how we are to apply the faith of Christ. Look at these verses in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. First of all, we're going to see the New King James Version. The King James Version also says it very similar to this. So then faith comes by hearing. Remember I said you got to hear it? And hearing by the Word of God. Now, stop right there. I shouldn't have put the other verse on there yet. I don't want you to look at the second verse yet. Look at me. Everybody looking right here? All right. So when you see the law tells you not to do it, you want to run do it, right? Okay. Don't look at the screen yet, okay? Here's how I've preached this verse, and I've heard most of the people in church, most pastors preach and teach this. Well, you want to have more faith, well, you got to hear it, and you got to hear the Word of God. In other words, we got to hear it preached, we got to believe it and obey it. Is that pretty much how y'all have heard that verse preached? I'm telling you, it's not right. Now look at the screen. Now, once again, you get out your Strong's Concordance or go online to Blue Letter Bible or something like that, and you can pull up what the Greek words mean. I want you to do that, but I'm going to do it with you today, okay? This is really a more correct version here, the Holman Christian Standard Bible says, so faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. Now, in the original Greek, the word God here, where up there where the King James or New King James says Word of God, that is not the word theos, which is often translated for God, but it's the word Christos. In other words, it's talking about Christ. So faith comes rather by hearing about Christ and His finished work on the cross, and not about the Word of God. In other words, read the Bible, believe it, obey it. That's the mentality. That's not what this verse is talking about here. It says the message, hear the message about Christ, believe the message about Christ, and then number three, if you want to apply the faith of Christ, you've got to hear it, believe it, and speak it. Now, I'm going to be doing a whole series on this, and this is where Joseph Prince comes in, and you, a Word of Faith background people, y'all understand the importance of speaking the truth. Not so God needs to hear it, so you will hear it. And it helps you apply it and appropriate it. Now, there's power in what you speak. I'm telling you, God is really doing a work on me about this part here of speaking the truth. Okay? Believe first and you'll see later. Most of us want to see it, then we'll believe it. Where's the faith in that?
Right.
We've got to believe it first and then we're going to see it. Matthew 8:13 says, as you believe, so let it be done. So you may have had people say, well, how can I believe something when I can't see it? Some of you are still struggling with it. You're totally forgiven apart from you confessing one at a time. You got to believe by faith that Christ has already dealt with that sin. He's already nailed it to the cross. And you, when you blow it in sin, there's no big barrier between you and God. Some of you were taught that. There's no big barrier between you and God. Why? Because Christ has already forgiven that sin already, apart from you confessing it. Well, say, well, that'll make me go sin and enjoy it. No, it won't. Okay, I want to give you an example in closing. The woman with the issue of blood who came to Jesus could have felt the same way as most of us Christians. For 12 long years, she had gone from one doctor to another, trying every conceivable cure that they could offer. She not only grew worse, but she ended up losing all of her money to all those doctors and all those cures. Does that sound very familiar in life sometimes? Then something happened to her when she heard. Remember, you want Christ's faith to arise, you got to hear first. You got to believe it, and you got to speak it. All right, hang with me. She started to believe about this Jesus. She started to believe, you know what? I've been hearing about this healing he's been doing. I believe he can heal me. Notice she spoke out loud. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 28. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. She said that in advance. She made her way to Jesus and touched his garment, and immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction. Wow. Her true physician, which is Jesus, pronounced her healed. So friend, God wants you to know that when you believe him, when you say, Lord, it's not my faith that'll move this mountain, it's your faith in me that'll move this mountain, then I believe you're going to begin to see some things happen. You see, it's time for Christ's faith to arise and not your faith. Say something to the Lord about this. Some of you are dealing with things right now. You're struggling, you don't know what to do in this situation. You need healing, you need relational restoration, whatever it might be. What if you said something to the Lord like this and made this your ongoing praying and thinking? Lord, I'm weak, but you're strong. With me and my faith, this is impossible. But God, with your faith, everything is possible. Lord, the world says, unless I can see it or feel it, I will not believe it. But God, you tell me, and I'm going to choose to believe it, then I'll begin to feel it, then I'll begin to see it. Look at the closing verse in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Father, I pray that during our time of discussion, that God, you'll begin to help cement in this powerful principle, this powerful truth, that God, we're not to live by our own faith and trying to rev it up, trying to speak it up, and trying to make it come to fruition. Lord, that's a dead-end street. Help us to realize that we have all the faith we need. We just need to begin to hear the truth message about Christ's finished work, begin to believe it, and then speak it out. Speak forth, Lord, what has not even come to pass yet. That, Lord, by your faith, I believe this to be true and this can happen. And just help us understand what that means, God, and sort that out in our thinking during this time of discussion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.